Lions with it, and goal from the 8. Down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew Tony Pollard. And the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford. Is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Shakes the man at the 8 and dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is your live post-game show, and this is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
This isn't Case. This is Punk Rock and Trev. Case has been banned.
Punk Rock and Trev! Thanks for filling in today, buddy. Case had to work. And he's getting worked right now, but it's always great to have Trev, one of the mods from Detroit Lions subreddit. And we still got a big show for you today. We're going to have that roundtable discussion about today's game. Lot to talk about. Eric Ebron has bubbled up to some of the top of some people's conversations. So we'll be talking about him, of course. And we'll be taking your calls live. It's going to be a great show. You guys be happy you tuned in. You ready to go, Trev?
Yep, like Darren Fells up the depth chart.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements for you guys. First, don't forget Dean Blandino, the former vice president of officiating for the NFL, will be joining our show this week on Wednesday when it goes live. He's going to come. He's going to talk to us. We're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff, and it's going to be great. I have to say, behind the scenes, he's been a really great guy, really nice, and you gotta give him credit. This guy's got balls the size of Rhode Island to be able to come onto the show and talk to us. So it's gonna be a great show. We're gonna get a lot of answers, and don't worry, just because I say he's been a nice guy behind the scenes doesn't mean we're not gonna hold him accountable. Okay, it's gonna be a great conversation. Also in the show, we're going to be joined by Sean Lanigan. Most of you have probably seen at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. He just had a great article yesterday about predictability of the Lions offense and first down and Jim Bob Cooter's kind of giving plays away in the game. And we saw it with Carolina. They were able to cheat on us so many times and know what we're going to do. We're going to get into the numbers a little bit, talk to him today on this show. So that's going to be a good one. Also, don't forget to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm new at this.
That's all right. We got Michael, Matthew, Eric, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Joel, Greg, Marcus, Lucas, Danny, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Jason, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, Gianna, Miak, Malcolm, and of course, Gianna. My wife corrected me today. It's Gianna. Miak, Malcolm, and of course, our first donor, Mathis. Also, want to call out our newest patrons, Dan, Zandy Lion, Gary, Peter Von Panda, Skyler, Mario, Lucas, and Brian B., the singer from I Prevail. Great, great band. If you like your good metal, he's the guy you want to listen to, man. iPrevail.com. Check them out. Great stuff. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And, of course, at DET Lions Podcast on Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. It's the best place to see Trev. He doesn't want to take him off. He doesn't want to take him off.
I was looking up stats.
And he won't have his pants either by the end of the show, I promise. But that's for a different reason. All right.
My pants are firmly on after this game. Two belts.
Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever. We're looking for your review. And get that subscription going to the podcast there as well. And don't forget, you're going to give us a call on this show. It's a great opportunity to really, really talk with us. And we're going to give you those numbers shortly. Let's get into it.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All right, here it is. It's time to talk about this game, and we're going straight up and getting into a quick roundtable discussion. As we do this, we'll give out the number here shortly and let you guys join. But Trev, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what did you see on that field today?
Just a lot of terrible shit, honestly. So one thing I think is a really interesting stat to point out, which I can't really find, but it's just time of possession. Carolina kept our defense on the field the whole game. I can't find the exact numbers, but it looks to be a landslide in their favor of having the ball. And that really killed us because it tired out our defense.
Yeah, absolutely. They were hands on hips out there.
Yeah, I think that we didn't see as much pressure as we usually do from our defensive line. We got Cam a couple times, but it was mostly because he was scrambling. And I don't know exactly why that is, because a few of their offensive linemen had been injured. One of their tackles was out with a neck injury. It just felt like we should have gotten home a lot more. Cam seemed to have quite a bit of time back there to throw the ball, and he kind of picked us apart, notably on that last play to steal the game.
Yeah, for sure. It was messy. It's almost as if the team took 2.5 quarters off.
it's a joke that we only show up in the fourth quarter, but it was really true this game. Yeah. It's a mix of play calling, poor play on our offensive line. Really breaks my heart to see Stafford playing so hard and to be getting beat up back there behind a unit.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's behind a unit that has been touted as a strength for this team and that we spent a lot of money in the offseason putting together. I know we're missing Decker, but at some point you got to say, I mean, like, come on, Swanson, come on, TJ Lang, come on, Rick Wagner. We know that you can play ball. Get in there and play ball.
Yeah. And I mean, Robinson, the one guy that, you know, is in there filling in, that was probably what we thought the weak point. You know, he did get that holding call, but it was after he came out of that pile with the ball, which I didn't think that pile started with the ball in our hands. So he, you know, he actually had a high point for the guy that's probably supposed to be the low point of the offensive line. This has been really, really an ugly game. That line got destroyed against a team that isn't supposed to be as strong up front as some of the most recent teams we played. So I don't know. That was ugly. We can talk about Eric Ebron. Just no heart, no skill. No, I mean, a lot of people want to talk about him, and I've wanted to have to eat my hat on him so much, and I can at any point, like, drop of a hat, go into a rage on him. But he just today, just he dropped like you know, your opening punch there, man. He just, at least for me, he dropped down the depth chart. He will not start a game again this year, or maybe even see the field without injury.
And I'm one of those guys that's been kind of a rarity around that. I'm a habitual Eric Ebron defender, and I've always kind of been like, wait and see. Well, he'll get better. Blah blah blah. And just it's too far into his career for him to be dropping passes. Like and it's just today as a whole, our offense was letting Stafford down. I don't even know if Stafford had that great of a game, but to go out there and watch him to play as hard as he does, and then to be held back by guys dropping balls, missing blocks, it's heartbreaking. It's like, come on, guys, play for your quarterback. He's playing for you guys. So
yeah, he is definitely out there playing his ass off. And running for his life, and then, I mean, he's getting destroyed, and then his leg, you know, he's limping off, he's taped up like a freaking mummy, and they're just still falling apart like Swiss cheese up there. The other one is Jim Bob Cooter. You saw, well, hopefully you guys saw on DetroitLionsPodcast.com, Sean Lanigan put out a great story yesterday about Jim Bob Cooter and how he's given it away. I mean, this isn't, you know, naked crawling through somebody's window giving it away. This is this is his formations and the setups on specific downs in particular. That, and you saw it with Carolina. They knew what was coming. Everybody on the field knew what we were playing. And I have to give, you know, like Abdullah on one play some credit, and the Lions on a couple of those plays, they outplayed a Carolina team who knew what the hell they were going to be doing. And that was pretty, it's pretty frustrating. You can't win football games when the other team knows what you're going to do before you start. So
I think we were particularly vulnerable to that in this game because sitting there in the front seven for Carolina is Luke Kuechly. And Luke Kuechly is one of the smartest linebackers in the game. That guy, if you're telegraphing plays, he's going to know exactly what it is, and he's going to blow it up. So there's that really great play where Theo Riddick juked him out of his shoes, and that was beautiful.
Oh, he was so mad after that, too. He was so mad.
But it's like Tate was pretty much a non-factor this game. He kind of disappeared. Ebron's dropping balls. Just, I don't know. Abdullah did okay. But again, if you can't expect Abdullah to do anything if no one's blocking for him and Luke Kuechly knows exactly what hole he's going to run through before he even runs the ball. So
Right. One of the things, so, I mean, and I'll give out the number here really quick before I make this point, actually. If you guys want to give us a call and take part in the conversation, hit us up at area code 248-782-8384. That's 248-782-8384. Or you can hit us up on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. And I'm gonna say really, really quick that the whole thing about Ebron, he changes the face of the offense. When he can't catch the ball, you have a quarterback that doesn't necessarily want to go to him, and when he does, he can't trust him. It just changes progressions. It just always winds up with this kind of lack of trust. Darren Fells gets out there, makes the big plays, makes the catches, and all of a sudden it's a different offense. So Ebron dropping balls doesn't change the game, I mean, although it does. It doesn't lose the game. But the fact that you've now got a guy on the field that you can't trust and you really can't go to, that handicaps you right throughout the whole thing. So we have a caller. Caller, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Who is this?
This is Eric Straub. I live in Indianapolis, but I'm from Michigan.
How you doing, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing well, you know.
Yeah,
I doing know. As good as can be doing after this.
any oh, alcohol goodness. In your life today yet?
A little bit.
Okay, no, I think we're gonna start just doing a temperature check on Lions Lost Days just to see where everyone's at. is Budweiser making as much money as they think they are?
About 9 beers in, it's okay. I'm doing all right.
Awesome. So but, what do you got, man?
To make this worse, I'm sitting here watching the game with a Packers fan. So,
ooh, ow.
Yeah, no, he's a good friend of mine down here, and we watch games together every weekend. So, but you can only imagine how that works out for me every time we lose.
Yeah.
So why we got to wait till late in the game? I mean, Stafford's hobbled. You're barely able to run around, and he's calling the plays. Running the, you know, 2-minute drill, and all of a sudden he looks like a freaking, you know, a champ, even hobbled. Why do we got to wait till late in the game to do that?
I kind of formulated a theory on that. I think that maybe our team as a whole, or it might be just Stafford, but I feel like he's one of those guys that just does way better when he's running up against the deadline. Like he's a perform under pressure kind of guy.
Yeah, and he studied the night before. He crammed.
Like the first three quarters, he's just wasting time. He's just like on the sidelines smoking weed and like watching and playing video games. And then he's like, oh crap, homework's due at like 2 a.m. and he just like starts going. But I don't know. But it seems to be it felt kind of fluky last year, but it's definitely turned into a pattern.
And I just got a really quick pop in. Ebron's got a tweet people were saying that maybe he would be, you know, I'm going to try hard next year or next week, whatever. Here it is. This is not helpful. Some of you wouldn't know the half. Boo me all you want, but pay attention to the whole picture. Hashtag stay woke.
Ebron's whole picture is that he's got to catch the ball and block. Yeah. And if he can't block or catch the ball, I'm looking at the whole picture, and the whole picture is pretty shitty.
Yeah. No. He's telling you it's Stafford's fault. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to read out of that stupid tweet of his. But this is not a time to tweet like that. And I know he's been eating crow a lot, but you know what? That's what's on the menu when you play like he does.
Yeah. I mean, the poor guy's been having a rough couple of years here. I think it's. I wish the best for him. I really want him to turn it around, but like, he's got to use this. He's got to use this as fuel to stop dropping the football. like instead of being mad at everybody booing you, put your nose down, get to work, and make them cheer for you. You know,
yep.
Give them something to cheer for.
Yep. So here's a couple things coming through. These are important. Hey, Eric, we're going to let you go, man. We have a couple people that are still trying to call in. We're going to get them in as well. Okay, bud?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem, bro. Thanks for calling. A couple tweets that are rolling in. These are Kyle Meinke. He's always got some good stuff. locker room is cleaned out except for Jared Davis and Nevin Lawson. Also, Stafford is in the trainer's room. Very unusual. Then he says his locker is also cleaned out. Also unusual. Which is that Stafford's locker cleaned out. I do not like the sound of that. Got a caller. Hey, caller, what's your name, man?
My name's Lucas.
Lucas.
I'm a Wick. Yeah, I'm Wick. I'm from Gaylord, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Oh, hey.
Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. Sucks we lost, but, you know, life goes on, and we got a lot of football left to play. So
that's right.
And we lost to a good team, too.
Yeah, that was a good team. Are you the guy that posted in the sub that you wanted to call, but you were afraid that you were going to be angry?
Yeah, that's me. but, you know, I took a shot at Crown, and, I'm all good right now. So.
All right. So that's one of the things we're doing now, starting this show. What's your alcohol intake for the day?
No, I only had two shots.
Okay.
I wanted to call in, so I didn't want to get all blitzed, you know, make a fool out of myself.
Really, you know what? I got to tell you straight up, I really appreciate that. That's cool that you thought enough of us to hold back, because I'm about to crack.
No doubt,
myself.
No doubt. Go ahead. But I had a couple things that I was upset about. Obviously, the time of possession. I got the stat right here. Carolina had the ball for 35 minutes and 23 seconds, and we had the ball for 24 minutes and 37 seconds. That just kind of leads to, you know, our defense gets fatigued, and which, you know, leads, you know, what you said earlier about the pass rush, we can't get to the quarterback. And that also leaves our offense on the sideline, so when they come out, they're kind of cold, and it's hard for them to get going. So that's my take on that.
I think that has been a Jim Caldwell game plan for about 2.5 years now, where that's his thing. Like he wants to keep their offense on the field by running the clock and kind of slowing down the game. And we got our own game handed to us here on this one.
No doubt. And the game management, I thought was kind of crappy near the end of the game, but it is what it is, and we lost. And I'm an Ebron defender. We'll get into that. But everyone trashes him, and I rightfully so. You know, it's kind of a drive killer. But he gets paid a lot of money, and hopefully he bounces back here.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've wanted. I've wanted so bad to be wrong about him, and he's just – it's – he keeps pulling me down to that hole. It's like the gravity of a black hole, right? It takes you to that bad place. But I don't know. You know, it's how many years are we into this now? And he's just not
3-4
holding the ball.
On this paper, he's good.
Yeah.
He's got cool. That. You know.
I got to give him credit. He's got another. He tweeted again, and this one he said on another note. My dog Darren Fells is a baller. He didn't at Darren Fells, but he's right.
No, he is. He stepped up, and that's the kind of thing we need here.
Yeah, we need a baller at tight end, and I just
no doubt
he. You know, it's there's something about how, you know, there's people that are hungry, right? You see Stafford out there, and you saw, I mean, his rookie season.
He was a mummy.
Yeah. When in his rookie season against the Bengals, and when his shoulder was spun around like Daffy Duck's bill after meeting up with Elmer Fudd, right? He went out there and fought and scored the touchdown. And you just know the heart in this guy is just, there's no question.
Oh, he's
the
hungry.
Drive and the heart and the hunger. Yeah, great, great word. You look at Eric and you just, and maybe it's there, right? But and maybe it's just he doesn't wear it on his sleeve, but he wears everything else on his sleeve, right? And this is the thing that really, that's the thing that really kills me. It's like he doesn't have heart. He doesn't have the drive to succeed. He thinks he's a guy that was really, really smart all his life and then got into Harvard and was surrounded by really, really smart people and he wasn't the smartest guy around anymore.
Smarter than him.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he can't coast anymore. That's really what it feels like with Eric Ebron. And I just don't – I saw him in the one winter working on catching passes, working. I was like, okay, he's got the right attitude. Here he goes. It was between his rookie year and year two. And that was the last I've ever seen of that Eric Ebron. I just – and again,
yeah,
he wears so much and he's out there with so much other stuff that the work – just doesn't show up, and I don't see it, so I don't know.
But yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Go Lions, I guess.
Yeah, bro, for sure. Always go Lions.
All right,
thanks for calling.
See you later.
Appreciate it.
I think that part of that too, like talking about Ebron, and like when we get into these tough spots in games, you need your good players to step up. So Stafford steps up at the end of games. Glover Quinn steps up at the end of games. We need Marvin Jones or Golden Tate or Eric Ebron to step up at the end of a game and really ice it away. And I know Golden Tate and Marvin Jones have done that before, and we've seen that from them. We haven't really seen it from Ebron so much. And Darren Fells just stole his paycheck today and did exactly what they've been wanting Ebron to do since he got there.
All right, we got another call. Hey, caller, what's your name?
Hey, it's Mike.
Mike, how you doing? Now, we've got a new thing we're doing the show. We're checking in, and how much alcohol have you had today?
I've had no alcohol, but yeah, I'm still feeling like shit.
Okay, I haven't either. So I think this is maybe a good barometer to start off the calls on after a loss. So what do you got for us, buddy?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was so excited this season with Decker coming off that rookie season. And then, you know, he goes to injury. I was really thinking our line was going to be pretty great this year with the addition of TJ Lang and Wagner. And today, we couldn't stop a strong gust. You know, the left side of the line was just getting killed. I think we've had 11 sacks in the last two games. So I'm just beside myself. Like, I hear everybody hating on Cooter for the play calling, but you know, at the same time, like the guy can't even call a play and protect Stafford. So it's a tough situation right now.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's just like that whole unit didn't have a great day. And for all the expectations we had on them at the beginning of this season, like they played okay for the first couple games too, but to give up 11 sacks in two games is just, like, that's bad. They need to look themselves in the mirror here and figure it out, because this team isn't going anywhere with Stafford getting hit that much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it is quite messy. Hey, Trev, I'm going to have you take a quick run really quick. I've got to bounce here. I'm going to take another call. Thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate it. And no, I have a minor emergency going on in the background. Wouldn't you know?
So did Eric Ebron just show up at your front door?
Yeah, I gotta go fight. I'm going right, to meet cool. him straight up. Okay, yeah. So I'm waiting if we can get another call here real quick. We'll get you guys started and let you guys have a little bit of a chat. I know that Sean is going to be joining us shortly. Talk a little bit about his. His article that he just had, so that was quite an interesting one. So again, guys, yeah, can give us a call 248-782-8384. It's 248-782-8384, or hit us up on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word. Let's talk a little bit about something that I did see out there really quick as we're waiting for a call. The comeback meme, right? Us Redditors know where that originated, where that came from. And I saw that comeback meme again coming out too early. And there's a sense about that meme that it definitely drives some, you know, it's a jinx. So we can't do that. So everybody, don't meme too close to the sun. Know the rules and do your memes appropriately. We got a call. Hey, caller, what's your name?
Hey, it's Lucas. Hey, Lucas.
Okay. All right. Lucas.
Welcome to the cast.
How you doing? Welcome to the podcast. Yes. I'm going to be away for just 1 second here, Trev. Lucas, what do you got going on, man? What do you got for us?
So every year, you know, we always hear about that stupid, the Lions can't beat winning team stat. And everyone's always how dumb it is and all that. But every time I watch a game like this, I get closer and closer to thinking that this is a legit stat because this Lions team cannot win a game that matters. We've lost two home games now. And, you know, people are all, well, we should have beat the Falcons and all that. But we had three plays on the 1 yard line and couldn't score a touchdown. Yeah, there was a runoff and, you know, we should have had one more shot, maybe. But this team cannot win when it matters. And people always talk, you know, you get a lot of Lions fans. They're all about, oh, we never get any respect, blah, blah, blah. Well, people rank us number two. And this is, you know, we make them look like idiots. And this is why they don't respect us, because we are just, the second we have any kind of success, the team just falls apart. And I can't decide if that's an ownership issue. Is it Caldwell somehow? Like, he seems to be, you know, the guys love him, but then they fall apart in big games like this. It just blows my mind that, and to be fair, the offense hasn't really looked that good in any of these games. The defense with their turnovers were what really kept us in any of these games. And then when the defense, you know, couldn't get any turnovers, the horrible offense just showed, hey, yeah, if we can't get these turnovers, we can't win these games.
Right. So I think, like, my take on that stat is, I think the stat in itself is a little flawed. It's the reason that we don't beat a lot of winning teams is because if you beat them, then they're not winning teams. That's part of it. And also, like, losing to good teams is not a terrible thing. But you are right. There is a thing where we sometimes in these big games we fail to show up a little bit, and so yeah, I've always been a hater of that stat. But you're right. It's starting to, like, make me wonder, like, what is going on here? And go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, well, the other thing with that stat too is, you know, you say, well, yeah, we beat them, so therefore they aren't a winning team. Well, then I might argue the stat is we just don't beat good teams. If your team loses to the Lions, they're not a good team. That just seems to be the narrative anymore. And everyone always talks about, oh, yeah, you can't, you know, we don't get any respect. And, oh, the narrative is, oh, they lost to the Lions, they must be terrible. But that does appear to be the case because, you know, I hate to say it, but every freaking year the Packers just managed to destroy us at some point and win the division again. And we don't seem to win when it matters.
Yeah, that whole respect thing is, like, it's something the Lions fans have dealt with since I've been alive. So the funny thing about it is that, like, we gripe about no one giving us any respect, but respect is earned. Like, we don't get any respect because we're the Lions, but we also don't get any respect because we're the Lions, because we don't win big games when it matters. And it's something that, since the 0-16 season, we've kind of come to this place where we hit these milestones, like, okay, now we're having consistently,
we won an away game, like,
right? We won in Lambeau. There's, like, these landmarks,
yeah,
these humps that we need to get over, and I think that might be the last hump that we still need to overcome, is rising to the occasion in these big games against good teams, and especially when we're at home, salting it away. And not leaving it up to a questionable call on the 1-inch line, or depending on our defense to take the ball away three times. This offense has a lot of talented players on it and a great quarterback. And if we can't score touchdowns, we're not going to win football games. It's kind of, it's like last year, everyone notably shat upon our defense and where people were calling for Terrell Austin's head. And this year he's righted his boat. And now Jim Bob Cooter's in the tank because we have MVP possible candidate quarterback back there, a Pro Bowl quarterback. And we've got good receivers. We've got the leading receiving back in the league. We have the leading receiver for Yak in the league last year, and we can't score any touchdowns until garbage time. And Darren Fells had two great touchdowns today, but those came when we were desperately clawing back. Not any time close to the beginning of the game when we could have put up a good lead on the Panthers. So yeah, I think that that's definitely a thing that's becoming it used to be a thing where we just dismiss the stats. It's like, that's a stupid stat. We hate that stat. It makes us look bad.
but at the same time, we play bad in this type of game. So it's hard to be like, so dismiss. And the Packers earlier, when we were doing okay, they were still saying, I saw the Packers fans, oh, we don't need to worry about the Lions. And I was like, God, it's so freaking cocky. And now I'm like, they're right. I mean, they're with how healthy they are right now. If it stays that way, they're going to slaughter us if we keep playing like we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't stand a chance.
I think we have another thing too that I've been actually meaning to call into the cast to talk about at some point this season is that I think I mentioned it a couple of years ago as well. We play exactly to the level of our opponent in almost every game. If we play a shitty team that doesn't score points, we become a shitty team that doesn't score any points. If we play the Falcons, then it's a high scoring game. we're always in these fourth quarter comeback situations because we don't go out and play our ball and win games. I don't know if it's a Caldwell game management coaching strategy thing, but we play right exactly to the level of our opponents. And it comes down to that last couple drives to determine who wins that game.
I think it's the defense has been playing solid. Typically, Austin has good plans, good positional people in place, and the offense. I think it's the play calling. It's very Lombardi-esque. It always just barely rises to the level of the competition, no matter what kind of team we're playing. It's insane, and that's why we wind up with all these late game heroics because we've been playing at this level. It's like, oh my God, we have to get it in gear now. Hey caller, I appreciate your call, man. I want to keep moving because we've got a lot of people flashing in the background. I found out what the emergency was. My air conditioning drain was plugged and it was leaking over and I've got a whole bunch of soaked carpet. That's going to be awesome. Here comes the mold, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So also, what else we have here? Somebody brought up the fact that we need a meme for the meme. That's a nice meme you got there. It'd be a shame if someone posted it too fucking soon. There you go, John. That was a good one, but boy, that was terrible. All right, so if you want to join us, give us a call. It is 248-782-8384. That's 248-782-8384. Or hit us up via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. We'll pick up your call and add you to the show. I really appreciate you stepping in there, Trev. You're like an old school professional, picking up the ball and run with it like that.
I like to think of myself as the emotional leader of the sub, so a real locker room guy.
But there you were. You caught the ball and you kept running with it. That was something that some players could learn from, most likely.
one thing I wanted to talk about just while we're waiting for another call, and as a quick note,
sure.
Did anyone else? I mean, I know you did because we talked about it, but. Out there in radio land, did anyone else notice that Nick Ballore, our backup / sometimes starting linebacker, was playing fullback today?
Yes. Great point. He
crushed it.
He look bad. He had some good plays there. There was the one fourth and one that I could I know I could probably go off on, so I'm not going to, but that one, the third and one play followed by the fourth and one play is exactly the kind of play calling that we talk about. But we have a caller. Caller, what's your name?
Hey, it's Bo. What's up?
Hey, Bo. How you doing? Thanks for joining us, man. Modest Lion.
I'm in a shitty mood because I'm not drunk and the Lions lost and work tomorrow and my therapist, sorry.
That's what I was going to ask, how much alcohol you had, but not enough.
Sorry about your AC unit, by the way. That sucks.
Yeah, that's going to be bad because it's underneath the wall into another room. I've got the boy and the wife working on it. We'll finish the show here, and then I'm going to go see what the heck's going on. But it's all new carpet and paint, so it's going to be – it's living the dream. It's living the dream.
Yeah. But at least the Lions won today, so you feel a little bit better.
Thanks for that. Thanks. Kick him in the nuts while he's down. That's always a good move. What do you got for us, bud?
Well, what I wanted to bring is, what if Carolina ends up being, like, super good after all? I know lately everyone's like, they weren't that good. We were expected to win, blah, blah, blah. So we all kind of came in thinking, okay, Carolina's not that good. I mean, they're a decent team. They always, you know, they have been for, well, that one year they weren't that great. But, I mean, they just were at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And let us say we're back to that same form. I mean, would that really, this loss seem that bad if we stole in? I guess it really depends if we win a couple more that we should win. But it kind of just goes in the same with, you know, beating winning teams and stuff like that. It's still a thorn in the side. But if they end up being really good, I mean, I wonder how bad this loss will really seem. It sucks no matter what. But
right.
it's like that game against the Falcons too. It's like,
right.
And I don't doubt and by any stretch of the imagination that the Panthers are a good team. They played well today. Their receivers were doing things to our secondary that we haven't really seen yet this year because they're tall and big and physical. Slay had trouble covering Kelvin Benjamin sometimes because he's just a foot taller and 100 pounds heavier. But it's like those are the game today and the game against the Falcons are those opportunities. And when we talk about beating good teams, those are the games we need to win. And like today was that case in point. Like if we want to be respected in the national media, if that ever happens, it's going to be by beating teams like Carolina today or punching in at the end of that game against the Falcons.
Right. Yeah, that's the big problem is because we were expected to win. I mean, a lot of analysts and stuff, not that it matters, but they were watching us because they put us on blast that we should win this game and Lions are so good this year. And I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew said we won the Super Bowl, which is pretty funny, but it's just once we get that little bit of attention, it just like we were talking about, it just seems like it folds so quickly where it's just like, who the hell, it's just the same Lions that we're used to. You know, they get the spotlight and they're like, oh shit, like we don't want that. We're underdogs. We don't want to win. Like we want to fool everybody. And then they, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they had to play like that. I was just so surprised, especially a home game. If it was at Carolina, I think, I wouldn't feel much better, but it would make a little bit more sense, I guess. But, you know, it's a home game. You got all your players back. You got Jared Davis back. And TJ Lang, everyone's still playing. So it wasn't like we really short anybody. So I don't know. I mean, Greg Robinson's shit anyway. And of course, Gibran can't catch, but they're just sad to see them unravel.
it's like you mentioned in the media, it's like we finally got our shot and we got on stage and just pissed our pants. Like
shit our pants for sure. Yeah.
It's just a whole mess up on the stage there.
Yeah. And from
big time.
All accounts, the team has left the locker room in a pretty, pretty sad state. It's a different feel. And it would be shocked if the locker room was lost after this game, but you know, these guys are hurting, right? This is a game they know they should have won and they didn't. And it's really, really too bad to see. The Panthers may be good, but that doesn't change the fact that the whole conversation
about beating good teams.
We're supposed to be beating good teams and we don't and we haven't been, and that's been painful.
Right.
So we'll see what we want. But I saw your thing in the live chat about Ebron being his new profession next year. Maybe he could be the AC guy for me.
It's sad because I actually like Ebron, and I was like, okay, he just needs some time. He needs a little bit more time. But if you just don't have it, maybe you just don't have it. You know what I mean? I mean, if you can't catch, I could catch when I was a kid. I'm not saying I could go play professional football as a tight end. Obviously, I'm not that big, or, you know, I may not have those hands, but you know what I mean? Those are some of those throws were just right to him. They weren't throws he had to be like a professional athlete to catch. He just had to catch them, yeah. And he can't even do that. So it just makes you wonder. You put, like, we put Darren Fells in, he gets that catch. I mean, I would have thought Ebron would have dropped that pass, because even though it was right to him, he still doesn't make those catches. We're not asking him to do a backflip, leap up, and catch with one hand or anything. You know, Stafford's not that crazy, but just catch the fucking ball when it comes to you. That's your job. How is that so hard? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to just, like, to anyone that's in the sub that likes to post that they could start for the Lions because they can catch better than Ebron, let's put that right to bed, because no, you fucking can't.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
You would go out, any average Joe would go out there and get blown out of their shoes by the first person that came into contact with them. Oh, but yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but on the same point, it's like, yeah, I like Ebron too. And I want him to step up and be good. And it's a Martin Mayhew thing partly, but we drafted him in the first round, and it's like,
yeah,
at least one team thought that he had first round potential. So, like, I don't know, man, like, nut up and do it, be that guy.
That's the only saving grace I feel with Ebron, is that it wasn't a Bob Quinn pick. You know what I mean? If that was the case, I mean, he's already made some really good picks where I don't think we'd bash him too hard on it, but at least it's not his pick. Like, it's just, what's one of the last bad picks that Mayhew fucked us with? And hopefully it won't be a problem much longer. I'd like to think he can just turn it around and all of a sudden be a stud for us, but we've been waiting for that for like 2 years now. So I think it's, this is definitely his last year as a Lion, I think.
If you've noticed, if Bob Quinn has kind of been shuffling out the old Mayhew picks, there's not a whole lot of them left, to be honest.
Right.
And it's only been a few years here, so like,
that speaks directly to the quality of Mayhew in the draft. I saw a lot of people trying to defend him over the years, and he'd hit one. Oh, well, he's the one that drafted Matthew Stafford. Yeah, you get enough top five first round picks, you're gonna hit on one of them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
That. So hey, Bo, we're gonna get going.
Yep,
we promised we would add Sean here. I'm gonna get Sean on the line. Thanks a lot, Bo, for calling. Sean Lanigan, writer for DetroitLionsPodcast.com, had a great article that that was on the site yesterday. And if you haven't seen it, you guys, you really, really need to take a look at it. He put together this awesome article talking about the tells that we have on offense, talking about how everybody knows what's going on in the Lions' next play and why that's not good. How you doing, Sean?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing okay. How much have we had to drink today, Sean? That's the first question we've been asking.
We've had a lot to drink today. That was a God damn it. That was a brutal game. Yeah. It was tough to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Personally, I've had a smoothie and a breakfast bagel sandwich, and that's about where I'm at on the day.
I had a buddy's birthday last night, so I really didn't sleep, and then went out and figured out that, as it turns out, the Lions Panthers is blacked out on Game Pass and everywhere, and we got to watch this at a bar. So here we are.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
It's a dangerous place to be for a Lions fan.
Yes, it is, especially in Minnesota.
All right, so let's talk about this article. It's got rave reviews. A lot of people have read it and said great things, but that's because it's a great article. Why don't you, for those who haven't read it yet, why don't you kind of summarize the premise and what you talk about?
Okay, so basically, you know, we've all been talking about how the Lions have been tipping their plays, or especially the run plays, you know, where the running game has not been successful, and we all saw the outside zones and how those have struggled and everything that's happened there. But in general, a lot of fans have been kind of crying out about how the run plays have been tipped. So I was talking with my little brother over the course of the week, and, you know, we were running through numbers, and he pulled up a number that just kind of like blew my mind. You know, he's an actuarial science major, so he's big into numbers just like I am. And he's going through them, and I was like, wait, hold on, go back.
Wait, actuarial science major? Is he like the life of the party?
He actually is the life of the party as well. He's a weird dude. So,
all right.
So yeah, so we're going through it, and, you know, he finds a lot of stats interesting that most people don't. So he's running through them all, and I'm like, yeah. Wait, stop, go back. And he went back, and he was talking about the pistol shotgun run, or pistol and under center versus shotgun run pass stats. And I was like, okay, hold on. That number is ridiculous. There's no way that number is real. So he went back and he like looked at it. And so we started going through and we started charting. And then we started going through a little deeper and looking at some of the other numbers. And suddenly it's like, okay, we're onto something. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous how predictable the Lions play calling is. And as it turns out, you can pretty much predict the Lions play calling if you just put everything through an algorithm.
Oh God.
It's bad. It's, like, it's really bad. And after this game, it might be even worse. Like, cause after doing this article and looking at the numbers, going back, like watching this game, it was like you could call every play before it happened in this game. It was so bad.
Ooh. It's like fantasy football, but the opposite of a fantasy. It's like nightmare football.
Nightmare football. That's what it is exactly. That's it.
And so, go ahead, Trev.
So I was going to say, I remember we had this thing. They had the same problem. It was a year or 2 years ago where like someone on the Broncos was telling us, like was telling Slay that that they knew every play we were doing before we were doing it. And I thought that was a Lombardi thing.
Yes,
but it seems like it's just a Lions offense thing here.
I think it's different, okay? Because I think with Lombardi, it was hand calls or it was something else. It was like giveaways in that way. Whereas like right now with Cooter, it's not specific plays they're giving away. It's the type of play where, like first down when they're in the pistol or when they're under shotgun, you know, they're going to either call play action or they're going to run the ball where like, they might've done it once today, but outside of that. Yeah, no. Okay. So the Lions once today out of pistol or under center threw the ball and it was on the free play and that was it. And it might've been a design play action, but before that, only one pass out of that formation was a standard pass and not a play action pass. And those play action passes resulted in negative yards. And that number gets worse today because first down under center play action, Stafford fumbles the ball and they get the ball back. And that pretty much was the game. That was it. And that's what we're looking at right now is we just know that when they line up in the pistol or under center, they're going to run it or they're going to throw play action. And nothing is going to be successful. So what the defenses are doing is blitzing because play action, like generally against the blitz, you get the ball out quick and it's effective and you beat the linebackers, you beat the secondary and it's all good. But when you're running play action, it takes longer to develop. Stafford's eyes are on the running backs. He's trying to sell the fake. And what happens is that basically, he has no time back there when they're blitzing. So he ends up getting sacked or he ends up fumbling or incomplete. And it's just not working. And we continue to do it for no reason. I don't understand it at all.
And I think your article came out at a pretty timely point because if you look at today's game, it bore itself out in very, very plain view. I feel like the first quarter, we changed it up a little bit and then we fell right back into that habit. Is described in your article, perfectly. And they blitzed on us with precision as if they knew what plays we were running. It was just uncanny how you had nailed that. And I'm just putting this out here. You know, Jim Bob started partway through the Lombardi season, right? We canned Lombardi before we went to London that year to play the Chiefs, and then we got blown to pieces. But He started with that playbook. Do you think that maybe that became foundational for the work that he's done? And part of the problem is he's got too much Lombardi still there because it's very, very similar in many ways.
See, and I like the playbook's totally different, I think. Like, and the the strategy is different.
Like I can see exactly the same formations and say this is going to be a run that I saw when Lombardi was there on multiple times, right? Multiple formations.
Yeah, like Lombardi's thing was that he would have Ebron lined up on the left in the slot, and then he would motion him across, and they would run a power to the right side every damn time.
That's still a thing, by the way, mm-hmm. but it's they're using receivers where I was talking to my brother who was pulling the stats with me. And basically he was talking to me today about how every time we're running it, we're motioning a receiver to the side. We're running it. And then we're running it that way. And we're basically using a slot receiver as a tight end to go out there and block it. Mm-hmm. And as I started watching, it was like, yep, no, that's what's happening. You're absolutely right.
And if like Joe Blow, like me, can be sitting on the couch and pick that out, I see that
Luke Kuechly's
that receiver go in motion.
Yeah, absolutely. We got away with a lot of holding on Kuechly today. Like if it weren't for the holding, Kuechly would have destroyed us today. I don't know, but as to Lombardi, like the strategy is different and the playbook's different, but the predictability is still there. And I think that, that probably a lot comes from the fact that he was coaching under Lombardi, where he never really branched out and learned his own form of play calling, where like he's young, he's a new coach. He's still figuring it out. And he basically has it figured out where, like, okay, so we're 1st and 10. We're going to run the ball because we want to establish the run. So he's running it all the time. And if we're going to run the ball, what's the best formation to run the ball out of? Well, we're going to run that out of, you know, single back formation. We're going to put a tight end on the right side. And since there's more blockers on the right side, we're going to run it there. And I think that he's basically thinking of the optimal, like, X's and O's ideas without taking into account that someone else is trying to figure out what he's trying to do, you know? So he's doing what he thinks is best without thinking of the defensive coordinator and realizing that somebody else is trying to figure out what you're doing and counter that. And that's the problem. And he has to be more flexible. He has to be better than what he's been if we expect to win games, because right now this is just not good enough. We've capitalized on special teams. We've capitalized on defense. And, you know, like, we're not hating our offense right now because we're winning games. But if we weren't winning games, we would be hating the offense because they've not been good and we need to be better. And I think that more than anything, that comes down to play calling.
Yeah, I thought he was throwing us a curveball today when he stuck Nick Ballore in there. That was like,
what was that?
I sat up. I was like laying on the couch and I sat up and I was like, is that a linebacker? Like, what are we doing? Like, this is old crazy Cooter. Like we, I like this. Let's Cooter fly by the seat of our pants a little bit here.
Cooter was drinking in the first quarter. He's like, this isn't working. Let's get drunk and see what happens.
Well, he wound up with a hurt Stafford. That was it. So out of this, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can run with this, and you're planning on doing a couple more articles to follow on. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are you thinking? Where are you going to take this from here, Sean?
Okay, so something as I'm going through all these numbers, you know, you're looking at it all and you're like, okay, that's significant, but it isn't significant to what I'm trying to say here. So something that I found really interesting was the target distribution between first, second, and third down, where you have guys that are getting totally different target rates depending on what down it is, which means basically on third down, Ebron's getting very few targets, but he's being very effective. Golden Tate and Theo Riddick are getting a lot of targets, and they're not being very effective. But if you look at second down, we're targeting Kenny Galladay all the time. And those target numbers are including the fact that he's been out for 2 games. So when you look at it, you kind of start to get an idea of what the Lions are doing, because you know, in the flow of the game, you kind of miss stuff and you're like, okay, that guy was open, he threw to him, whatever. But you miss the fact that they're designing plays to certain players. So like Kenny Galladay is the type of player that basically, you know, he makes great catches in traffic and he's made some really big plays for us. but he hasn't been great on third down. He hasn't been super reliable. And so you're not going to count on him in third down situations. So what they're doing is they're taking shots to him on second down. And then they're using third down to hit their more reliable receivers. And a lot of that stuff plays into what the Lions' overall philosophy is, where you're picking certain people that you're going to target in certain situations. And it's something that is really mind-blowing to me, because if I can sit there and I can look through the numbers and I can see it, you better believe that the other team's seeing it too. So on second down, you're putting a better corner on Kenny Galladay. On third down, you better believe that they're waiting for Golden Tate and Theo Riddick to catch the ball short of the six and try and run with it. So I guess I'm really baffled by the fact that Jim Bob Cooter is so strict in his play calling, that all of this stuff is so prevalent, and like someone like me can just go and find it and nobody else seems to care, you know?
Yeah, distributing the targets based on down is really interesting. It would be super cool to like go back and look and see what when other teams started picking up on that. And I wonder if that's why our receivers aren't getting open. I feel like they've had a lot of trouble getting open these past couple games. For receivers that are that good, like to just kind of fall silent, like Tate barely did anything this game. And yeah. It may lend itself to the fact that they've figured us out. Like they know where it's going there, and they can prepare for it. So we can't beat it because they know what's going to happen.
And another really interesting thing, like something that I'm planning on writing about, I got to do a little more research. I got to go through and chart all the routes that these receivers are running. But if you look at basically Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay and their numbers on the, God, I forget what the numbers are called, but it's on NFL.com. It's the signature stats essentially of NFL.com. It's like next gen stats, I think is what it is. But basically they have trackers in everybody's helmets and they chart everything and they give it to you when they want to essentially. but Kenny Galladay has the least yards of separation of any receiver that they've charted. And Marvin Jones is like fifth least. Sorry.
Wow.
So they're literally creating nothing. Those two specifically. And then if you look at the average yards the ball is in the air per target, they're both top six also. So like to me, just looking at those numbers without going through and charting any of the plays, it looks like they're being used very similarly. And that is really strange to me, that you have two players that have a similar skill set, but you're using them exactly the same way. You know, like you would think that if you have two guys with a similar skill set in an offense, especially their skill set, you're going to use them differently and you're going to do different things with them. And you're going to try and just exploit whatever the defense is doing, where you have a big bodied receiver that can run deep and you're going to have one run deep and one run a slant. But that hasn't been the case. They have very similar numbers, and I'm definitely looking forward to looking into what exactly they're doing with each receiver on each route.
Yep. All right, Sean. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us this week, man. It was good stuff. Looking forward to the good stuff you're coming out with. This was great, and it came out exactly at the right time, because we can kind of see the results of Jim Bob's play calling and his kind of situational calls here and what's happening. And we saw it play out right before our very eyes, unfortunately. So again, thanks for joining us, bud. Really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, dude. Be good. All right, Trev, we're gonna call it, man. We're gonna call this a show. I'm gonna go start soaking up some water. Remember, guys, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to everyone who supports us, and we really, really appreciate that. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and follow us on Twitter @DETLionsPodcast. That's @DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Trev double belted again.
I am. I'm struggling with the belt. The pants are firmly on this time.
Okay. All right.
No pants off time. Not until we get better at football.
Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call and leave a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. On the Lions line, it's 929-335-4667. You get to leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Don't forget, next show, we've got Dean Blandino joining us, and we're going to go deep on the questions for him. All right. Be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions!